Turning your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and we want to read beginning at verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Stop reading there and look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we ask for your help this morning as we look into this passage. There is great, great treasure here. And we would ask that your Spirit this morning, who is the only one who can, would take us into your heart concerning these verses and take us into the very treasure room of these great verses, and show us your heart and your message. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're moving through the 8th chapter of Luke's Gospel here. And this morning, we are moving on to the next storm that the Lord and his disciples encountered in this chapter. In verses 22 through 56, we mentioned that there are four storms. We find a storm on the sea. We find a storm in the mind of this man in the country of the Gadarenes. We find a storm in the body of a woman. And then we find a storm of death in the daughter of Jairus. In our text today, we've read about a woman with a storm in her body. The Bible doesn't tell us a great deal about this woman, but we do learn four things about her in verse 43. We learn, first of all, she had an issue of blood. Secondly, we learn that she had had it for 12 years. We learn that she had spent all her living upon physicians. And the last thing that we learn is that she was no better from having spent her living upon these physicians. So let's look at these things as we find them here in verse 43. First of all, this woman had an issue of blood. We aren't told precisely what this issue of blood was. There are two issues of blood dealt with regarding women in the Bible. I'd like for you to turn back for just a minute to the book of Leviticus. Lord willing, we'll be coming back to Luke chapter 8. But turn, if you will, to Leviticus chapter 15. Leviticus chapter 15. Leviticus 15. Leviticus chapter 15, and let's read beginning at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When any man hath a running issue out of his flesh, because of this issue, he is unclean. This is a chapter that deals with running issues out of the flesh. It's a chapter about that which flows, that which is discharged from the flesh and the uncleanness that it produces. Not only in the man or woman, but in everything and everybody that they come in contact with. And then what you'll find here is the personal hygiene that's required to deal with the uncleanness. Now, a chapter like this is extremely practical in nature. And one of the things that it demonstrates is the scientific accuracy of the Bible. It demonstrates how many thousands of years this book was and is ahead of medical science. Look at verse 13 for just a minute, if you will, here. And when he hath an issue, and when he that hath an issue is cleansed from his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in running water, and shall be clean. Dr. Henry Morris points out in his note on this verse in his Defender Study Bible that this quote is another example of a health measure not practiced even by medical doctors until modern times after the discovery of bacterial infections. And if I could just inject a note here. A minute ago we said it was literally thousands of years between this verse and the time that this happened. It was not until the years around 1850, between 1850 and 1870, that men like Louis Pasteur and Joseph Lister and others began to develop an understanding of bacteriology, an understanding about antisepsis and immunology. Dr. Morris says, not only is water necessary for cleansing, but the water must not be merely in a stationary basin. It must be flowing to carry away any bacteria or other pollutants. So this chapter, just on the surface, is incredibly practical and important from a physical and from a medical and from a hygiene standpoint. But more importantly, it's eternally important from a spiritual standpoint. And that's why we've come to these verses this morning. You see, it's so easy for us to read a chapter like this and think to ourselves, what in the world is this doing in the Bible? I'll tell you why it's in here. It's in here to show us ourselves. It's in here to remind us about our condition before God. And to do it in a very pointed way. Verse 1 says, And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When any man hath a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue, he is unclean. Folks, the message here is that you and I have a running issue out of our flesh, and we're unclean. Keep your place here because we want to come back here before we go back to Luke. So if you need to move your finger from Luke, that's fine. But I'd like for you to keep your place here and turn over in the New Testament to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, It's a very familiar portion of Scripture. We talk about it a good deal in the preaching that you hear in this church, but I think it's important to look at it this morning. A word that I'd like for us to see. Mark chapter 7. In this chapter, the Pharisees are critical of the Lord's disciples because they ate with unwashed hands. The Pharisees were critical of them because they had this attitude of heart that they did not want anything to enter into them to defile them. They had this view that which they took in defiled them. So with that in mind, look at verse 14. The Lord, we read here concerning the Lord Jesus, and when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, "Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats." Now listen very carefully to verse 20. "And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man." The Lord Jesus is talking about the running issue out of our flesh. He's taking us back to Leviticus chapter 15. This running issue out of our flesh that defiles and makes us unclean. And beginning in verse 21, he details our running issue. "For from within, out of the heart of men proceed." Now I'd like to stop right there at the word "proceed" for just a minute. That word has a very interesting meaning. It means to issue. It means to flow forth. You can circle that word "proceed" in your Bible if you mark your Bible, and beside it you can write the words "a running issue." A running issue, because they have the same meaning. That's what we're talking about here. What an incredible book we hold in our hand this morning. Let's listen here as the one who looks on the heart describes in detail the running issue out of our heart, out of our flesh. "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within." They come from within and defile the man. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 15 now. We're reading here, as we're studying in this chapter, about ourselves spiritually. And I think it's very important that we establish that thought in our minds right at the outset here. Now, in this chapter, verses 1 through 18 deal with men. Beginning in verse 19, God addresses women. Notice verse 19. "And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days. And whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the even." Verses 19 through 24 deal with the ceremonial uncleanness that women have from their issue of blood that is regular and healthful and according to the course of nature. And may I just say that as we don't have time to read through this chapter, maybe you can make it part of your devotions this coming week. But if you read through this chapter, what you'll find is how tasteful our God is. How tasteful our God is in dealing with delicate and personal and private health and hygiene issues. And may I further say this morning that it wouldn't hurt God's people in this hour to be more like Him in this area. We're living in a day when there is no decorum. We're living in a day when there is no decency, no propriety, no modesty when it comes to these matters. Everything is coarse and crude and vulgar. And how vulgar can we be? How far can we push the line of decency? That's the hour that we're living in. Women say things in front of men now, and men say things in front of women now that a generation ago would never have been said in mixed company. And I'll tell you what's sad. I'm not just talking about out there in the world somewhere. I'm talking about among the people of God. Folks, if we're saved this morning, let's be like our God. Let's be tasteful and decent and modest in our conversation. Let's have some shamefacedness and sobriety in our words. That's another wonderful thing about a chapter like this. As we read it, it puts us in remembrance of these things that are so important that we be reminded of from time to time. But I want you to notice now verse 25. Because verses 19 through 24 are dealing with the issue of blood in women that is regular and helpful and as we said a minute ago, it's according to the course of nature. But notice verse 25. And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. Now, beginning in verse 25, we're reading about an issue of blood that is out of the ordinary. An issue of blood that is not according to the normal course of nature. We're reading about here an issue of blood that is a disease of the body, a plague of the body. Matthew or Mark 1, I can't remember which, uses the word plague in regard to this woman's sickness there in the New Testament. But we're reading here in Leviticus about the condition of this woman in Luke chapter 8 who had an issue of blood 12 years. And what we see in verse 25 is that she was unclean. She was unclean, and everything that she touched was unclean. Look at verse 26. Every bed whereon she lieth, all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation, and whosoever she sitteth upon, and whatsoever she sitteth upon, shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her separation, and whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean. And shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. Now there is a phrase in these verses that I'd like for us to see. In verse 25, notice the words, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness, this unnatural uncleanness, this unnatural issue of blood, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. In other words, all of the days of this issue of blood that is out of the ordinary, that is not according to nature, that is a disease of the body, her uncleanness in that condition is the same as the 7-day cycle of separation that she normally would go through. Now, we see this same equality in verse 26 between this normal issue of separation and this abnormal issue of blood. Look at verse 26. Every bed whereon she lieth, all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation, and whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her separation. Now, there is a reason that this equality of uncleanness between the normal issue of separation and this abnormal issue of blood is so important. You see, this is another part of this chapter, and it's the same kind of thinking that we're so prone to when we read a portion of Scripture like we read in Luke chapter 8 about this woman with an issue of blood. We think to ourselves, that doesn't apply to me. I don't have an issue of blood. Well, I want to show you this morning that we do have an issue of blood. Keep your place here in Leviticus and turn over to the book of Ezekiel, if you will. Ezekiel chapter 36 is where we want to look. We're thinking about what it means to have an issue of blood. We're thinking about the implications of that. And we're thinking about the personal implications of it. Because, again, it's so easy for us to dismiss these kind of passages as not applying to ourselves. Look over to Ezekiel chapter 36. And let's read it, verse 16. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. God says that Israel defiled their land. And it's very important that we understand how they defiled it. He tells us here. They defiled it by doing their own way. That's how they defiled it. And notice what God compares Israel doing their own way to. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Now, what is a removed woman? We read about a removed woman a few minutes ago in Leviticus chapter 15. The words of a removed woman are one Hebrew word. It's word number 5079 in your Strong's Concordance Hebrew Dictionary. We came across that word in Leviticus 15:19. If a woman have an issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart. She shall be put apart. That's word number 5079. Verse 20 of Leviticus 15 says, And everything that she lieth upon in her separation. That's word 5079. A removed woman, then, is a woman who is in her regular, healthful 7-day cycle of separation. And God is comparing Israel doing their own way to the uncleanness of a removed woman. But I want you to remember something. There is no difference between the uncleanness of normal separation and the uncleanness that comes with an abnormal issue of blood. The uncleanness is the same. Now, folks, here's why that's so important. What is the very hallmark of our existence? What is the very hallmark of our nature? What is it that you and I live to do more than anything else? We live to have our own way, don't we? We live to have our own way. And God compares that kind of rebellion, God compares that kind of uncleanness to the uncleanness of a removed woman. But there's no difference, again, from Leviticus chapter 15, between the uncleanness of a removed woman and one with an abnormal issue of blood. The uncleanness is equal. And I would suggest the thought to you this morning that by nature, our goal and our desire is to do and have and go our own way. And so what's true of Israel here is true of us today. By nature, we are before God as the uncleanness of this woman in Leviticus chapter 15 and verse 25 and this woman that we're reading about in Luke chapter 8. We have an issue of blood by nature. And it's no accident that Matthew and Mark and Luke all tell us that this woman had this issue of blood for 12 years. Why would the Lord tell us that? Well, obviously He wanted us to know how long she had suffered with it. But in the scope of time, what difference does it really make to you and me that she'd had it for 12 years? The Lord could have just said she had an issue of blood and we knew it was an abnormal issue of blood. But He told us that it was there for 12 years, and I believe it's because 12 in the Bible has to do with rule. And doing and having and going our own way is all about our desire to rule our own life. We have an issue of blood by nature. And we've had it for 12 years. Just like this woman in Luke chapter 8. So that's our condition. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 15 again. Leviticus chapter 15. Because we want to read about the cure. We want to read about the cure for those with an issue of blood. Look at verse 28. But if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. And on the 8th day she shall take unto her 2 turtles or 2 young pigeons and bring them unto the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her before the Lord for the issue of her uncleanness. The woman with an issue of blood was to bring 2 turtles or 2 young pigeons to the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And we see there in verse 30 that the priest would offer the one for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering, to make an atonement before the Lord for her. Now, with that in mind, let's go back to Luke chapter 8. Let's go back to Luke chapter 8. And let's look at verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which has spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. Here this woman in Luke chapter 8, I believe, is doing exactly what the law called for. She's coming to the priest, the great high priest. the Lord Jesus Christ. But she doesn't bring two turtles or two young pigeons because it's not possible that those sacrifices should take away sins. But she's coming to the great high priest. She's coming to the Lamb of God. She's coming to the one who will be the one sacrifice for sins forever, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, what's in view here is the cross of Calvary. It's amazing how many times in the scriptures, over and over again, it's as though the cross rises right out of the pages. Notice again those words in verse 44. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment. Remember what we read in Leviticus chapter 15 concerning the woman who had an issue of blood? She made everything she touched unclean. According to Leviticus 15, when she touched the border of the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ, she gave him her uncleanness. When this woman with an issue of blood touched the border of the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ, what comes into view, folks, is a glorious picture of the cross of Calvary. And it's like that because Isaiah 53 and verse 6 tells us, "The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." At the cross, God took our issue of blood. He took our uncleanness and he placed it on his only begotten Son. And there on the cross, God opened the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John tells us, forthwith came there out blood and water. Forthwith came there out the running water of life. You remember we read about the running water in Leviticus 15 and verse 13. The running water of life where sinners can bathe and wash and be made clean. The running water of life where sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. When this woman with an issue of blood touched the Lord Jesus Christ, she owned her condition. She owned her sin. I love that song the choir sang. They sang it last Sunday night, I believe. They sang it this morning. And that line there, "I the Lord have slain." This woman is owning her condition. She is owning herself as slaying the Lord of glory. She owned her condition. She owned her sin. She took her place as a sinner. And what I want you to see is that when she did that, an exchange took place here. The Lord Jesus took her plague. The Lord Jesus took her issue of blood. He took her life that was defiled, her life that was unclean, her life that made everything that she touched and came in contact with defiled and unclean. And in exchange for that life, the Lord Jesus gave her his life. Notice his words in verse 46. The Lord says in verse 45, "Who touched me?" They all denied. They all denied. This woman would have denied. See, there was this shame in her to acknowledge this terrible condition that she had. And she knew that she was unclean and that those she touched, they all denied. And Peter, just like, you know, Peter so many times, I read about him, I say, "That's me." I can hear an irritation in his voice. They're out there and the Lord says, "Who touched me?" And Peter says, "Lord, what do you mean who touched you? There's people, they're pressing and crowding. What do you mean who touched you?" The Lord says in verse 46, "Somebody hath touched me." And notice these words, "For I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." The word virtue means power. And we think about power One verse that comes to our minds is probably Romans 1:16, where Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." The virtue that went out of the Lord Jesus Christ to this woman was his life. His life. That's what salvation is. It's receiving by faith the life of the Son of God. This morning, if you're lost, you have an issue of blood. You've had it for 12 years because you're doing and having and going your own way in an attempt to rule your own life. And I tell you what you're going to find. Mark talks about this woman suffering many things of many physicians. You're going to suffer many things of many physicians. The world is full of physicians. You're going to spend all of your living, because this world has nothing to offer you. This world will take and take and take, and you will give and give and give, and at the end, you'll have nothing. You'll lose your soul forever. This morning, you can own your condition. Right where you are, you can own your sin. You can take your place as a sinner. You can repent of your sin. And by faith, you can touch the border of his garment. And an exchange will take place. The Lord Jesus will take your plague. He'll take your issue of blood. He'll take your life that's defiled and unclean, and that defiles and makes unclean everything that you come in contact with. He'll take your life. And in exchange for your life, he'll give you his life. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for this portion of Scripture. We thank you for the way that it ties back into the Old Testament and to these passages that so many times we're ashamed to admit that we question and wonder why they're even in the Bible. And yet they're there to show us our own selves. Help us to see ourselves this morning, Father, as we really are. There are those here who are lost. Help them to see that they have an issue of blood. And that issue of blood is their own desire to rule their lives apart from you. Help them this morning to see the folly of that. And help them in this moment to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, to repent of their sins and come to him in simple faith and receive his life. And Father, speak to those of us who know you today. Help us to be those who give out this message. Help us to be those who in our conversation honor the Lord, that have the same tasteful conversations and put things the same tasteful way that he does here in his word when that's necessary. Deliver us from the vulgarness and the crassness and the coarseness of this age in which we're living, that we might stand out as those who are different for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things in his name. Amen.